Hi, I'm WTOP Entertainment Editor Jason Fraley, and I'm here with the one and only Dennis Edwards, lead singer of The Temptations, coming to Howard Theater here in D.C. on Sunday, September 11th. Dennis, thanks so much. It's an honor. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me, man. You know, we got two shows down there. You know, that theater is so important to me. You know, I remember back in the early days, I joined the Contours, right?
Right, right.
And my very first venue, believe it or not, was opening up a show at the Howard Theater for a group called The Temptations with the Contours. So that was my first dip in the water. And I really enjoyed, you know, the city, the theater back then, and the little restaurant across the street. So a lot of history there.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, I know a lot of people know you from Temptations, but a lot probably forget you were with the Contours first. So you joined...
I was with the Contours first. Yeah. You know, I joined the Contours, and it's so amazing. My very first road job was opening for the Temptations at the Howard Theater. And some of the memories I remember, I was singing, and I looked in the wings, and there was David Ruffin and Ada Kendricks watching me, and I'm like, wow.
This is really happening?
Yeah. It's really amazing that you know, we're coming back to the Howard now, the refurbished Howard, and you know, it's sort of like a homecoming for me, man, you know?
That is really cool,
very first job, I mean, with the Contours, was at the Howard Theater opening for the Temptations.
It's come full circle.
Yes. And I remember, you know, those great traditional theaters, there's something about them, you know, it makes the entertainer just perform better. I don't know whether it's the atmosphere of them, it's the way they build them back in them days. The theaters nowadays, they don't have that family feeling that they used to have, the new theaters.
It just makes you step your game up a little bit more.
Makes you step your game up, and, you know, people are closer to you, and, you know, I tell you what, when people are into you, it makes you better, man. It just makes you say, well, look, I got to give it to you. Well, Washington has always been a place. When you come there, you got to come with it.
Definitely. Well, we appreciate that you bring it every time. What can we expect to hear if we come out?
I got a great group. You know, I got. If you remember the Temptations like you did in the 60s and 70s, that's what you're going to get. We're going to do most of the hits. We can't do them all. It would take about 4 hours.
Yeah.
Got a little comedy, man. We got a little emotional stuff going on. And, you know, it's going to be a great Temptations show. It's going to take you back. You know, we got hits, man. I don't even think none of us remembered. not when we were doing the songs, but they would still be prevalent today. Yeah. But we just did a television show, and I never forget. It's a show about the things that happened in the street with the policemen, you know, and the young men.
Yeah.
And what they wanted to hear was Ball of Confusion. And as I'm singing the song, I'm like, wow, this song was done 40 years ago, and it's still prevalent today.
It's funny you mentioned. I was thinking the same exact thing. Berry Gordy came here to D.C. They brought that Motown the Musical to National Theater.
Right.
And when the Temptations get on stage and sing Ball of Confusion, they're using that to comment on today. It's crazy.
Yeah, and it's you know, Norman Whitfield, God bless him, he's no longer with us. Mm. He was so far ahead, but we didn't even realize it. Like, when we were doing the music, we were just trying to make good music. But, you know, some of the lyrics, when you look at listen to those songs, man, you know, you can take it to every inner city in the world.
That's why I sort of say that there's no such thing as time or past or present. It's all interconnected, you know, man?
Yeah, so, you know, and you know, music has such a great part of it. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember we did a record called Runaway Child, Running Wild. Mm-hmm. And I remember back in the day, you know, when kids would run away from I ran away one time until dinner time. I came back when I got hungry. But I mean, all of those songs, man, you know, Ball of Confusion, Psychedelic Shack, all of those songs, you know, it's Cloud Nine. It's about things that are happening today.
Definitely. But that's what makes it so timeless and so great. I love it.
It's going to be a great show, man. You know, I got some great singers, man. If you miss this, you're going to miss something. We got two shows, and, you know, we're going to bring Washington back to the old days.
We appreciate it. Speaking of the old days, take me back before Temptations, before even the Contours. You grew up in Birmingham, Alabama.
Birmingham, and my father, He went to Detroit to get one of the factory jobs when they had a great industry. And the family came up behind him, and that's how I got to Detroit. And I got a chance to, hook up with Motown. And yeah. I mean, the whole Detroit at the time was like a melting pot of all people from all different types. I know Eddie and Paul. They came to Cleveland first, then they came to Detroit. Mm-hmm. Otis, they came from Texarkana. You know, Melvin was living there. He came from Mobile, Alabama, and of course, there was singing everywhere. We didn't have a great outlet at that time. You know, we had to sing in the red light parties in the basement. I don't know if you remember those. But everybody would come up, and the different groups would sing. Sometimes they would give us $5.
Wow, that's so.
But you know what? We were just happy to sing. But what people don't know, there was no outlet. I mean, for per se black music at that time.
Right, right.
You know, we had a great industry, but there wasn't a black industry. We had the Reese's and the Sam Cooks and the Nat King Cole's, but the door wasn't quite open yet for black groups. And, of course, Berry Gordy came along with the dream he had. We made clean music. We dressed ourselves up. We got class about it. And, you know, we're bringing that same thing to the stage. Of Howard, you know,
yeah.
we learned how to not say four-letter words, to be classy, to act like gentlemen, and of course, all of that. Sometimes today it gets lost.
Yeah, why do you think that is? Do you pine for the days where you know? And well, do you think it would ever come back?
One reason is back in our day we had a censorship department. You couldn't. They wouldn't play a record with a four-letter word.
Right.
You know, of course, when they did all the cuts, you know, they cut out a lot of good stuff. They said, well, that's okay. You can say four-letter words on the radio. They always told us that if you said a four-letter word on the radio, the kids would get it, and it wouldn't be good for the kids.
Right.
Well, you know, a lot of things have changed. You know, I'm not knocking these kids' music because they have some great music. They're probably making more money than we made because they own their music.
You know it.
They're smart.
Yeah.
You know, but it's just... I'm so glad they sort of cleaned up the music a little bit. They don't call the women the B word so much no more.
Right, right. Yeah, no, yeah. And you even with like, yeah, what was it, Bruno Mars and stuff, they got the little of the class back. They
right,
dress
right,
up.
They got the class back. You know, it's like because you look at groups like the Temptations, OJs, and Gladys, we're still working.
Yeah.
And because we work for all types of audiences. We work for audiences that you can bring your whole family to.
Definitely.
You know, you can sit there with your grandkids, your mom, and everybody can enjoy a good show. We don't come for nobody to fight. We come for you to go home and make love.
Exactly. Hey, tell me about the Fireballs way back.
The Fireballs, you know, I was in the service. Actually, when people talk about the Holocaust, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, a lot of people tend to say they weren't crematoriums. I guarded a crematorium.
You saw it.
I was stationed in Dachau, Germany.
Wow.
And I got a chance to look at the ovens. Most eerie thing in my young life. You know,
oh
I was
my
in
God.
The service. Well, anyway, while we were there, one of the gentlemen who was in the service with me, his father worked for Berry Gordy. And Berry used to send all of the latest Motown records over. Well, one record in particular I heard was a group called The Temptations. They were singing My Girl with a guy named David Ruffin. And it kind of gave me the itch. I could always sing a little bit. So I formed a little group. We used to go down to Munich, Germany when we got off of duty, and there was no music. So one day I got up there to the piano, and I went up there and I started singing on the piano. He turned the mic on. I found a guitar player, found a drummer,
do you remember
found
what
a bass player.
Do you remember what songs you sang? What songs did you sing? Do you remember?
I was singing everything. I was singing My Girl, anything that they would send us. They were sending us music from Motown.
Right, right.
And but what we did, I started entertaining the soldiers.
Wow.
Because we were over there. We would go to the bar and we would drink all night. And there was no music. And I started playing. And so finally the owner of the club, he said, can you come back on the weekend? And that was my first little job. And so when I got out of service, I started Dennis Edwards and the Fireballs.
Wow.
And we played in a little club in Detroit called Mars Lounge, and it was very successful. All the Motown acts used to come in, and I remember one guy in particular who was really significant in getting me started, James Jameson.
Wow.
The great bass player for Motown. He is the guy that was responsible for me being in Motown. He set up an audition with Mr. Gordy, signed with the company. They didn't have roster room for me, so they paid me a retainer for about a year for doing nothing. You know, I'm a young kid. I said, wow, what's going on with this?
Yeah, exactly.
And sure enough, I got the call to sing with the Contours. One of the Contours, they got sick. What Mr. Gordy did with me, he kept me as a substitute for anybody.
Right, I see.
And I started, like I said, my very first stage show. I practiced with them for 1 week, and I was on the stage at the Howard Theater opening up for a group called The Temptations. Isn't this ironic?
Definitely.
That was my very first stage show.
We all and we all love the Contours, too. Do You Love Me? Watchmen now.
Do You Love Me? you know, first I look at the purse. And
God, so many good ones. Wow.
It was a lot of great ones, you know, but it's so ironic. I'm coming right back to the Howard again with my Temptation review. So I'm just looking so forward to it, man. It's going to be really great.
Definitely. Before I want to move into sort of the Temptations days, because we covered the Contours in the early days. But before we move on, you mentioned I want to know more about your service in the military. When did you
I spent 3 years in the Army, and of course, like I said, it was so eerie, man. I got stationed there at the concentration camp in Dachau.
Wow.
And we got a chance to look at the medical facilities where they used to do experiments on people, take one person's arm off and one person's head.
Yeah.
I mean, it was just so gory. Behind the base was a concentration camp.
So, do you remember?
They still had the concentration camp there.
Do you remember the name of the base you were stationed at?
Dachau. The name of the base was oh my God! It was in Dachau, Germany.
It's
I know we were in SACOM, 7th Army.
Okay. And what year did you enlist?
That was in 59.
Wow, man.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, but I think this is cool. And our listeners aren't, especially being a news station, they're going to love this backstory.
Yeah, you know, and you know, I hear a lot of people, you know, there never was a Holocaust. Man, I went and they gave me a tour of the ovens. They had the first room was like with shower spigots where they would gas the people, right?
Yeah.
Then they would take them over. They had three different size ovens.
Oh my God!
That you could pull, and then when they would die, they would take them, and they would take the gold out of their mouth.
Right, yeah.
Oh my God! It was just so eerie.
So when people say that, you can say no. I saw it with my
own
eyes.
No, I guarded the place. You know, yeah. it was so eerie, man. I'm telling you, it's just at nighttime. You know, sometimes we would have guard duty going around the crematorium. Nobody ever got around the backside because there was always a story. Don't go around the backside.
Man, seriously.
Because it was just, but I spent 3 years in that place.
Wow.
And
thank you for your service.
Huh?
Thank you for your service.
Well, you know, it kind of grows you up, though.
Yeah.
You know, I wish some of these kids today could go through some of the experiences, you know, of things like that. They can appreciate life a little better.
Yeah, so you come back here.
I come back home.
And you do the fireballs, you do the Contours,
yep.
And you're appreciating life, and so you're just rolling now. And then you open for the Temptations at Howard Theater. How did you act? And so do you, before they asked you to join them, do you remember all of that? Because the Classic Five,
you know, me and David Ruffin actually became such good friends. You know, in fact, he was my idol. You know, David was everybody's idol.
Yeah, right.
And of course, he used to come out of the club where I worked, and you know, the people loved the club where I worked because I used to draw a lot of pretty women. So you get a lot of men when you got a lot of pretty women.
Right. Exactly. And that's just how it works.
it kind of works that way. and you know, I we became friends over the years. They all would come down, and you know, I never in a thousand years. Even thought I would be singing with the Temptations.
Yeah.
I remember I got the call. Even when I got the call, I got the call from David. David said, I'm leaving, and they want you to replace me. And I'm like, get out of here.
That's crazy.
So that's how it started.
Oh, wow. Okay. So what year, you replaced him in what, like 68?
In 1968.
Okay. So before that, they had already rattled off a bunch. They had done Ain't Too Proud to Beg and Get Ready and all that stuff.
They were the greatest group in the world without me. Yeah. You know, I'm telling you, I love the five of them, man. I'm going to tell you. People ask me all the time, what about this? Look, I don't care about myself. I enjoyed, I was so hurt when David told me he was leaving the group. Because it's just like a well-oiled machine, and you just don't want it to break up, but it breaks up.
Yeah, well.
But I was also happy that I had the opportunity to become a part of it, of course.
Yeah, so yeah, it's that sort of old classic bittersweet thing. You hate to see him go, but it was a good opportunity for you.
Right, it's a good opportunity for me.
So explain sort of how you helped bring the group sort of in a new direction, because, you know, Motown started to evolve into psychedelic and funk and disco, you know. How did you guys sort of evolve?
Well, you know what? We were sitting in the studio, and of course, David was some hard shoes to fill. I don't think there'll ever be another one, you know.
Right.
And we were listening to songs, you know, and they had to be real careful, because David was almost like the Temptations king at that time, you know.
Right.
And to replace him was a difficult job. Sometimes when you place a guy like David, you lose the whole group.
Right.
Well, we were sitting around trying to figure out what kind of song to sing and what to put out so the public would like it, because it's going to be a hell of a void with David gone. Well, I think Norman had listened at this group from San Francisco called Sly and the Family Stone.
Oh, of course.
And I never will forget it. What was so significant about them was that the Temptations, Otis, Eddie, Paul, Melvin, myself, everybody were lead singers.
Right.
But they never used, back in those days, it was a lead and it was background.
Right.
Well, Sly came out with Dance to the Music and had all the different leads on it. Next thing Norman came up with was Cloud Nine.
Yep.
And, of course, it was laughed at. They didn't want to release it. But guess what? It won the very first Grammy Award for Motown Records.
So there you go.
And you know what's so significant? It had all, it featured all five of us, which was, it kind of set a precedent for something new, you know?
Right. It wasn't just background singers. It was everybody
right.
got it.
And we were taking a hell of a chance because, you know, you got this great, great lead singer, man. And then here comes a group, comes out with this sort of psycho soul music. Are they going to like it? It just so happens that the country was going through that type of period at the time.
Exactly.
And Norman hit it right on the head.
Perfect. Awesome. So Cloud Nine was, they weren't expecting, and it won a Grammy. We mentioned Ball of Confusion earlier.
Ball of Confusion.
Yeah, and then take me into when Papa was a Rolling Stone.
Papa, when Papa came out, well, we heard the track, you know, and we thought it was like, well, that's some nice music, but they're not going to play that. You know, at the time when jocks, you know how jocks are,
mm-hmm.
they played 3 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And Papa was like 6.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And I had another problem with it. Well, I come from a real religious background. My father was a minister. And, of course, my mom, she never did enjoy me singing with the Temptations because I was singing for the devil.
Oh.
And then the lyric, it was the 3rd of September, that day I always remember. That was the day that my daddy died.
Oh.
Well, believe it or not, my father died on the 3rd of October. And it was so close and so ironic.
Yeah.
Until in my household, man, it was like, wow. And, of course, when I got to the part about Papa was a Rolling Stone, my mama said, your daddy wasn't on Rolling Stone?
Yeah, I'd say, who are you singing about?
Yeah, he was here all the time. He
right.
took care. So those two things got blown out of proportion. They heard about him. Of course, the public publicity people, they went to town with it.
Yeah,
oh
but
God,
that's but
we
some
use this to sell the record.
Right, right.
The record eventually sold 6 million copies, and we won 2 Grammys with that, and it became a national hit.
It's even to this day, people can. And when he died, everybody can do that. But yeah, but even if it wasn't exactly your specific life story, so many other people could relate to that, you know?
Yeah, it was a and you know what? If you think about the late great Norman Whitfield, he's gone now.
Mm-hmm.
He was so far ahead of his time, because if you listen to most of his songs, they had a little story, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And they had at the time. When we did them, they were a weird story then. Some of the stories now are really nice, good stories.
That's awesome. All right. Well, I know we don't have to go through all the songs because we'd be here all day. But let's do maybe one more after. What else was? Take me into Just My Imagination. I love that song.
Well, Just My Imagination was a change. We had went through the psychedelic thing, the Joneses, Ball of Confusions, and psychedelic shacks, and, you know, and all of a sudden, of course, the trend changes. Norman, he said, look, why don't we sing a pretty ballad? We had one of the greatest tenor singers in the world in the group, Eddie Kendricks. So they came up with this beautiful, beautiful Just My Imagination, and it became a smash. And, of course, it was a launching pad for Eddie Kendricks. Although Eddie was there all the time, he was the background singer. Eddie was one of the most important people in the group. And, you know, he was there, and his voice came out, and it was so sweet and beautiful. That song became a beautiful hit. Of course, during that time, Eddie was having a few problems with management and all, and he left the group right after that.
Yeah. It's just a great song, though. Tell me, so bring it sort of back around full circle. You know, you mentioned your mom thought you you grew up in a gospel religious household, and she thought you were going to sing with the devil with the Temptations. Did she ever come around on that? And would she today look back and say, you know, if she were around, would she look back and say, you know, be proud of what you all accomplished?
Well, you know, I was raised in the Kojic sanctified people, and of course. You got to realize those people, you know, they serve the Lord. They serve Him really, really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I understand. You know, I was a young singer, and I just wanted when you get the opportunity to sing with a group called the Temptations.
Yeah,
you have to say, well, look, I'm still going to be a Christian, but I'm going to go out here and try to make this money.
Exactly, you can do both. You know,
you can do both, and you know. It worked out so funny. I always tell this story about my mom. My mom wouldn't even take money from me for a while, you know. They were so bitter in my household. And I never will forget, I brought $1,000 home one time, and mom said, I don't want that money. That's the devil's money. So I left the money on the fireplace. Believe it or not, around the 28th of the month, my mom called me one day. She said, Junior, she called me Junior. I hope the Lord don't mind if I take this $1,000 and pay this rent.
Exactly. Well, I mean, why do you think that it was? Just being on the road,
you know,
or people aren't used to certain music yet?
Yeah. You call them holy rollers?
Yeah.
They are, you know, like I have often said, my mom's in heaven now. If anybody made it there, she made it.
Yeah,
you
right.
Know, we got people in this world that really served the Lord.
Right.
And I love them for it.
Right.
Because the day she brought me to church every night and took me to prayer meeting and Bible band and choir practice, those are the days that are helping me now.
Yeah, exactly. It's all coming back.
Those are the days that are helping me still be here in this world and get my life together.
Mm-hmm.
You know, those people, man, they are so. And when they look at you and tell you something, you know it's real because it's true.
Right. Oh, that's great. It's cool that you still think about them all the time, and you know, and you can appreciate how it's helping you now.
Yeah. Well, you know, every time I do a show, you know, we join hands and we just thank God, you know, because it's just a blessing that God has blessed us with a talent to do something that we like to do, and you get paid for it too. I mean, who can be more blessed than that?
Well, we can, because we get to watch you guys.
Well, that's true.
Thanks so much for coming. Is there any, you know, final thoughts?
Just everybody needs to be there. It's going to be two great shows, you know. We're going to take you all the way back, and we're going to do some new stuff. We're going to do some old stuff. I got some great singers I'm bringing with me. We're going to be wearing them costumes. It's going to be shining.
Mm.
It's just going to be a great evening.
Awesome. And like you said, it's two shows on September 11th at the Howard Theater. Dennis Edwards of the Temptations, thank you so much.
Yeah, great. I'm the first radio station here. I'm listening to some stuff.
Yeah, it's an all-news station.
That's great, man. You know, that's what we need.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, well, I'm glad.
I was listening at some of the broadcasts and some of the subjects, and, you know, as you live long enough, you get real interested in a lot of stuff, you know.
Yes.
I mean, some things that need to be said are not being said, you know.
That's what we try to do. It's a lot of politics. It's a lot of everything.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of good stuff there, man.
We got the Temptations stamp of approval on WTOP. I'll pass on the word.